This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
So we were talking Big Ten, obviously, guys, and we know this is going to be an issue. We know it's going to be a problem moving forward. Just how much of the Big Ten schedule do you feel is now in jeopardy? I mean, do you think we get half of these games in? Do you think we get three-quarters of these games in now as far as the rest of this Big Ten schedule?
I think half. I would still go with half. I don't know about the rest. I find it hard to believe that you're not going to get a spikes with another program and players testing positive and having to be quarantined like we've seen it at Wisconsin. I'm comfortable saying half, but what are we talking about? I mean, we're talking about half. We're talking about three more games. And then that's it. You got an eight-game schedule.
It's going to be interesting to watch, and that's why we bring in Dan Murphy of ESPN. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Murphy ESPN, covers the Big Ten. He joins us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Obviously, there's a lot going on right now, Dan, but I want to start with this. It's not so specific to Wisconsin or their schedule or the Big Ten schedule. We know when a player tests positive, they're out for 21 days. This is a little bit – it reads a little bit different than the way people are portraying it in the media. So after 10 days, that they don't have to self-quarantine any longer, is that correct? And what is the plan for them to return to play once their 21 days is complete?
Hey, pals. Yeah, thanks for having me. And that is, I do think something that's a little bit tricky, and frankly, it wasn't that well explained, or the details weren't that well disseminated when that 21-day thing came out, which looks a lot different than what the rest of the country is doing with that delay. And you're right. So 10 days, if they test negative after that and they've kind of finished their quarantine, which is similar to what other places are doing, then the next 11 days of that is for two reasons. The first is they want to then send them to a cardiologist and have them look at their heart and take some heart cardiac MRIs to see, to make sure that the heart's looking okay, and also to kind of use it to as almost like research as to what the first 2 weeks look like on somebody's heart after some of that stuff came up early, that this might impact some football players. And then the rest of that 21 days is used because they didn't want to take a guy who hasn't, run a sprint, thrown a pass, put a helmet on in 2 weeks, and then allow him to get right back out on the field and have some team feel like they had to be pressured to put, like, you know, their freshman star quarterback back on the field as soon as they could. So that extra week is used to try to ramp them up. And I've tried to get some clarification on if there's any limits at all in that last week of their, you know, 21 days, whether they're allowed to go full go and practice and hit and be around the team in meetings and stuff like that. And that part, frankly, is still a little unclear to me. But I know that last week of quarantine was designed to be sort of an on-ramp to let guys get back up into shape and get used to hitting again and back into the sport before they jump back into a game.
Is there any discussions or anything you've heard of in regards to the Big Ten office in Chicago possibly looking at any type of maybe a flex-type schedule, maybe the last couple weeks of the season, in lieu of trying to maybe put some of these bigger high-profile games maybe on the back end instead of playing a lesser opponent towards the end?
So far, that no. I mean, it's a good idea, and I think that's been, you know, since the day that it was announced that the Big Ten was going to play again, and we got to look at what their plan was. That's been the big question all along. Everybody saw right away that there's no way that these teams are going to get in all eight or nine games without a single break, and it's, you know, to expect otherwise was wrong. So, I think this is the Big Ten saying, hey, look, you told us that some football is better than no football at all. So this is what we're going to roll out. And, you know, it's not going to be neat. It's going to be sloppy and ugly. And there's going to be a lot of questions over what that means for a Big Ten champion or what that means for a Big Ten team who might be in the playoff discussion. And none of that's going to look normal this year. But this is what you asked for. So this is what you're getting. Could they have done that better? Yeah, probably. Was there a better way through that? Perhaps. But, I mean, that's pretty much the way they've treated it thus far.
Dan, who was more disappointing to you in week one of the Big Ten? Was it Penn State and losing to Indiana, or was it Minnesota getting dominated by Michigan?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, Penn State, I think, you know, the question has always been with James Franklin is managing those late game situations. And it sounds like he tried to manage it, but clearly that message didn't come across. And look, that wasn't just that one play that let Indiana stick around in that game. Penn State looked underwhelming. You know, to me, Minnesota, that Minnesota-Michigan game is a big question mark, because we don't know if that look, that means Michigan's offense has taken that much of a step forward and Joe Milton is the real deal, or is it a sign that Minnesota's defense, missing a lot of key guys, is taking a bigger step back than maybe what we would have expected. So I don't know, I think you need a couple more weeks of perspective to really make much of what happened up there.
All right, so I want to go back to this Wisconsin situation. We know that they're not going to play this weekend, and now there seems to be a little bit of chatter, Dan, that their next game against Purdue could actually be in jeopardy. How real do you think that the possibility of them missing both of those games is based on where we stand today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something you got to consider, right? It's a 7-day, they shut things down for a full 7 days. So even if they're back and they play that Purdue game, they're going to be playing on 2 or 3 days of practice, which is obviously a far from ideal situation anyway. But that 7 days also, you know, they only come back if their testing rate has dropped, so that less than 5% of the team shows up with positive tests a week from now or a few days from now, whenever that clock restarts. So I think it's a very real possibility that game could get pushed, and I think we're going to continue to sort of see this uncertainty over the next couple months as the season unfolds.
Whether it happens or not, there has been some speculation over the last hour or so that Nebraska is going to continue to practice and maybe even perhaps, if the Big Ten will allow them, the opportunity to go try to find a game this weekend from a non-conference opponent. Do you see the Big Ten allowing that to happen, especially now that they're in their conference bubble, so to speak, and the protocols being the way they are?
My initial reaction is, I don't think the Big Ten would allow that, and I don't think there's enough time for them to, A, convince the Big Ten to let them do it, and B, go find somebody that's willing to come to Lincoln or let them go to their place and play a game. There's just, you know, what, we're down to about 72 hours, 3-4 days before you'd have to do that. That seems like a tough task. But I will caveat that with, you know, I thought when the Big Ten said, hey, we're definitely not revisiting the schedule or changing our rules in early September, that they actually meant that. So this year, I think throw out any predictions. And if Nebraska can find a game that they're going to want to play on 48 hours notice, it sounds like Scott Frost and his crew are up for that. So who knows?
I just want to get your thoughts on Ohio State. Obviously, I think a lot of folks are ready to place them on that pedestal with Alabama and Clemson as one of the premier teams in college football this year. They did look good. Justin Fields looked great. What were your overall thoughts? Did you think they looked like a team that should be discussed as that?
Fields was really sharp. They've clearly got great playmakers and receivers. You know, the one spot that was maybe a little disappointing, and again, it's a very small sample size one game in, was the pass rush. We're used to seeing Ohio State having one of those surefire top 10 draft picks who can change the game on the defensive line. And it doesn't look right away like maybe they have that guy. So that's going to be the big question for them, I think, over the next couple weeks as we see a little bit more of them. You know, certainly they didn't do anything to convince people that they shouldn't be in that conversation, but, you know, I think there's still a long way to go and not enough, sort of tape right now on Ohio State to decide whether or not they're definitely in that conversation.
All right, Dan, great stuff, man. A lot happening currently in the Big Ten. Would not be surprised if we hit you up to join us again soon, as a lot of this information is going to be changing and moving, and things are going to be happening. So we appreciate you taking the time today to join us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Always fun to chat with you guys. I'm sure something will change in the next 10 minutes with the way things are going.
There's no doubt. Appreciate that. Dan Murphy of ESPN, at Dan Murphy ESPN. Follow him on Twitter. Find his work at ESPN.com. And he joined us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy drinking hard seltzer with just 2 carbs, 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.